Basic Brewing Radio is sponsored in part by the American Homebrewers Association. Join the American Homebrewers Association in November and claim an out-of-this-world offer. Use discount code 5STAR, that's all one word, to receive a free 32-ounce bottle of IOSTAR sanitizer when you purchase a one-year membership. Get your free IOSTAR with promo code 5STAR and find holiday inspiration for great gifts, craft beer recipes, beer and food pairing suggestions, and much more by visiting homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing today. Hurry, this offer won't last. Visit homebrewersassociation.org/basicbrewing for offer details. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, November 16th, 2023. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, it's another hop sampler. This edition, Steve Wilkes and I pit two old traditional favorites against each other and then blend them, East Kent Golding and Fuggle. We also look back at what we thought of those hops when we first sampled them and see if our perceptions still hold up. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing, and many thanks to everybody who is helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters will get a really early release this week of the next video episode. It's about my Kentucky Common that I brewed after tasting one in Canada. Since I'm going to take next week off for Thanksgiving, the general public won't see that episode until week after next. Steve and I are planning something special for financial supporters and for participants in the annual disaster show. I unearthed the video from the original Introduction to Extract Homebrewing DVD from way back in 2005, and my goal is to record a video of Steve and me doing commentary as we rewatch that. I plan to send that out to financial supporters and disaster show participants by the end of the year, and then post it publicly on YouTube like several months later, maybe 6 months later, so y'all will get to see it way ahead of time. And I've sneaked a peek at the original video, and man, we were skinny and young back then. So, don't forget to get your disaster show stories in. That's stories of brewing gone wrong. And if you feel motivated, we'd be grateful if you pitch in to patreon.com/basicbrewing. I'm planning to keg my pre-prohibition American lager tomorrow. That's the one that Chris Colby of Beer and Gardening Journal and I designed on this show a couple weeks ago. I brewed it with L26 Pilgrimage from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Yeast. That's the seasonal yeast right now until the end of the month from Imperial. I was a good boy, and I stuck by the rules of lager brewing this time. I dusted off my stir plate to make a 2-liter starter. I usually don't make starters for moderate gravity 5-gallon batch beers, ales, because of the 200 billion cells in each easy-to-open package of Imperial yeast. I chilled the wort down to 55 degrees Fahrenheit, or 13 C. I aerated with oxygen, and I fermented it in my temperature-controlled kegerator. And while the fermentation was a little slower getting started, the airlock was bubbling by breakfast the next day, and the yeast was very happy. In fact, 3 days after pitching, things were already starting to slow down, so I brought the beer out to warm up to room temperature for a diacetyl rest. It's looking good. It's clearing out. So I'm going to go ahead and keg it tomorrow. That's 7 days after pitching. And I'm going to let it lager in the kegerator. I anticipate this will be a delicious beer. If you want to get your hands on some L26 Pilgrimage from Imperial, do it now. The release of this seasonal lager strain is over at the end of November. This is the third beer that I've brewed with it, and I've been happy with each one. Ask your local homebrew store about L26 Pilgrimage and check out all the dependable deliciousness at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com. Okay, the last time that Steve and I got together for a hop sampler, he suggested what we're going to do in this episode, revisiting two longtime hop favorites, tasting them side by side, and then blending them to see how they stack up. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. It's a pleasure to be back.
We're here in person.
Yeah.
At the breakfast nook.
Yeah, we were going to sit outside today, but it's too hot.
It's too hot.
It's actually too sunny.
It's too sunny. It's too bright and too, well, it's not too hot. It's perfect temperature.
Yeah, it's actually nice.
But it's like 75 degrees outside. I don't know what that is in real temperature, but, you know, it's November 6th and it's, you know, you're wearing shorts.
I know. So I can outrun the locust. There's some frogs on the way here.
Well, just the burning hail will keep you warm.
Yeah.
we're doing the hop sampler, and we're revisiting a couple of hops that we did way back in the day. They're basic hops, and this is what you recommended last time we got together, so mm-hmm. This is your fault. We're doing East Kent Golding and Fuggle, mm-hmm. and then a blend of the two.
Yes.
And I think this may be a tough one. I could be wrong. What's your expectations or your feelings going into this?
You know, I honestly don't know. I've never thought about that. I think my expectation is to these are both classic British hops. And I am curious how they will taste against each other. I know that we've reviewed these hops before, mm-hmm. but not together and not in the blend. And my idea was that, you know, you mix EKG and Fuggle all the time. But I've never really done a sensory panel to try to think about, well, what do they taste like separately and what do they taste like together in an otherwise non-distinct beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we're putting this in some giant, you know, wee heavy or something, well, they kind of get lost anyway. But this will be a way for us to examine the hops in their wild state.
I went back to the into the archives, and in July of 2018, we compared UK Fuggle, German Hallertau, and Perla. And I think that was obviously one of our earlier, I think that was our third hop sampler. And the recipe was a little different back then. I did a 30-minute hop stand as opposed to the 10-minute hop stand, which we're going to taste today. And just as a matter of trivia, that tasting was not random. We couldn't randomize the different bottles. Because we or the different samples, because we had different bottles, and you know you could tell one from the other just by looking at the bottle, and that was the batch. I don't know if you remember this, but I made two sets of hop samplers in bombers, packaged them up, and sent them via UPS from your shop to Portland, and we were going to do hop sampler recordings in Portland for HomebrewCon, but UPS destroyed the package.
Yeah. Along with about $300 or $400 worth of mead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's hard to make a claim because you're not supposed to be sending that stuff anyway, I think, according to their rules, maybe. But anyway, so all we had left were like three individual 12-ounce bottles that were, you know, that were in different style.
Yeah.
Bottles. Anyway, so we didn't do the randomized guessing thing on that one. And then in April of 2020, just as it was our first show, I think, to record during the pandemic, we recorded remotely. We did Tettnang, East Kent Golding, and Hallertau Blanc. So I listened to those shows today and I took some notes. Wow. And so I've got some tasting notes from back then. And I'll reveal those, you know, I think what I'll do is we'll talk about the descriptor of the hops that I found on hopslist.com. And then I can add our little
nice
tastings after that. So if you've been in the woods away from our show for the last, how long? 5 years? then you don't know what we're talking about. But this is the hop sampler. This is, I think, our 23rd hop sampler. And what I do is I make 3 6-packs of beer, and into each I put, you know, a different hopping strategy or different hops. It's an extract batch. I start off with 3 quarts of water, or around 3 liters, and into that I put 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light dry malt extract. And then I bring that just up to the boil. So it's not, you know, a rolling boil, but it's just starting to roll. And then I shut off the heat. I put in the hops. I let it sit for 10 minutes. And then I chill with an ice bath. And then pitch, you know, transfer into a 1 gallon jug, pitch 3 grams of Safale USO5. And then at bottling time, Susan and I bottle these, and we put a little carbonation drop, you know, candy looking thing into each of them. And this time I did 1 ounce of Fuggle in one batch, and that Fuggle was both of these are 5.6% alpha acid, so that's real handy.
That's easy.
I did 1 ounce of Fuggle in one, 1 ounce of East Kent Golding in the other, and then half and half, half an ounce of each. That's 28 grams is an ounce. The original gravity of this these samplers is 1066. Insert your Battle of Hastings joke here. Final gravity, 1009 for an ABV of 7.5%. So let's warm up here. Let's start with number one, and then we can talk. You want to do the honors?
Sure,
it's up to you. And we've got they're randomized. And Susan helped me with this. She put a piece of tape with a number on the top of the caps so that we don't know what we're tasting. So this is just a nice kind of, what would you call that, a golden ale? It's just a light pilsnery looking. It's somewhat cloudy.
A pilsnerish hue. It's a little opaque,
right?
But it's nice golden. Yeah, it's nice, pretty little pale ale beer.
Okay. Clunk,
clunk.
We're drinking out of plastic Dollar General cups.
Oh, that's nice. That's actually quite a nice little beer. I like that.
Oh, that is good. Yeah, it's pretty fruity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't expect these English noble hops to be fruity.
No. But maybe that's because maybe they are fruity, except that we have supersized the fruitiness. You know, so in other words, traditional hops that you would have at one time said, well, these are fruity, compared to like, you know, Mosaic. Well, nothing's fruity compared to Mosaic, you know what I mean? So maybe the scale has shifted.
Well, also, that's a 1 ounce in a 1 gallon batch, 1 ounce of hops, for a 10 minute hop stand. That's a bunch of hops. You know, if you were to scale that up,
right,
there'd be what? In general, you know, probably more than 5 ounces of hops.
Yeah,
whatever 5 times 28 is for the grams, but. But, you know, it's almost half a pound of hops probably for a 5 gallon batch in that 10 minute hop stand. So it's really magnifying the quality of the hop.
I am kind of surprised at how bright the flavor is.
Mm. It's nice. I get it. On the second sip, I get a teeny bit of more of like the herbal or the grassiness. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a sharpness. It's not, you know, drinking a mango or a cantaloupe or,
right,
you know, something like that, in my opinion.
Well, I get a very pleasant little fruity, sweet. I'm trying to think of a fruit flavor. Maybe a little pear. It's kind of like a little. It's like a soft fruit that's not citrus. I don't get citrus from this at all.
Right.
But I do get kind of a soft fruit, not peach, but maybe pear, maybe even apple, but not a little green apple.
Yeah, it's not cidery.
It's not cidery, but maybe just a little bit of that kind of bright kind of Granny Smith kind of apple flavor, just a little bit. But what I'm actually noticing as it warms even slightly is to my palate, there is a dank, D-A-N-K-ness mm-hmm. to it that's actually quite prominent.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm calling grassy.
Yeah, and I would grassy.
It's not to onion.
No, or dill. It doesn't go in that direction, but it is vegetal, herbal, mm-hmm. grassy, something like that.
It's something along the lines of more of, say, an English IPA mm-hmm. rather than an American IPA. You know what I'm saying? American IPA would be all in your face with the grapefruit. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's good.
It's a good beer.
It's nice. I would call it a nice, solid, fairly – it's got a nice, solid bitterness. Mm-hmm. It's a nice, like, pale ale to IPA level of bitterness, mm-hmm. not overly fruity. I got fruit notes at the very beginning when I tasted it, but as I'm drinking it now, those have kind of gone into the background with the more spicy, grassy stuff.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Oh, yeah, and I'm starting to pick up just when you said spicy, I'm starting to pick up just a little bit of black pepper, a tiny amount. Definitely not a one-trick pony in terms of flavor.
No.
Or the different flavors that I believe are coming from the hops.
Yeah, I like it.
Nice, okay.
Okay, let's talk about Fuggle. And again, these descriptors are from hopslist.com. We don't have a relationship other than I found them on the web.
Well, I used to date a girl like that. We didn't either, but I found her on the web. Don't tell that joke to my wife.
I'm sure she's a regular listener.
I'm sure she is.
Like Susan, she listens, gives me notes. No. The Fuggle hop originates in England and was first discovered in 1861 in a hop yard owned by George Stance in Kent. Oh, so these are both from Kent. Some 14 years later, it was officially named and introduced by Richard Fuggle of Benchley in 1875. Similar to a Styrian Golding, it's noted for its distinct European aroma and has enjoyed a long, versatile run. At its peak nearly 100 years ago, Fuggle was known as a dual-use hop. Today, however, as other higher alpha acid varieties have become more prevalent, it's now more prominently used for its aroma. So, you want to know what we said about Fuggle back then?
I do.
Okay. So this was a 30-minute hop stand with half an ounce or 14 grams of each, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
To me. Okay, so this is Fuggle. I said a fair amount of fruit, not tropical, grassy, and a little onion, more fruity than a typical English ale, in parentheses, pear. And you said a little savory herb, such as thyme, earthy, grassy, nice, subtle flavors.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Not saying that that's what we just had.
Right.
Because we don't know. But that's interesting that you want to do the honors on the,
sure.
on the number two. It's time to brew your special holiday beers. And our friends Desiree and Dave of HighGravityBrew.com have the kit for you. Revelry and Merriment Holiday Ale for 2023 is a tribute to Anchor Brewing's Christmas Ale. Sadly, we won't be able to get Anchor's version this year, but you can brew your own. Desiree and Dave's take has juniper berries, coriander seed, bitter orange peel, cardamom, and cinnamon. Yum. And you know it's got to be great coming from HighGravityBrew.com. Or you could go with Old St. Nick Ale, which is also on HighGravityBrew.com. It's inspired by Avery's Old Jubilation Ale with mocha and toffee flavors and a hint of hazelnut. You can even choose to take that beer to 11 by choosing from a big selection of flavorings and fruit purees. Pick up a delicious holiday-themed beer kit on HighGravityBrew.com And while you're there, make a list of the Warthog electric gear that you want Santa to bring you. I know you've been good, right? Use the code EBC75BB to save $75 off your Warthog purchase. Send Desiree and Dave some holiday love and thank them for their longtime support of this show at family-owned and operated HighGravityBrew.com. That's HighGravityBrew.com. Ooh, nice hiss on that one.
That's a larger hiss.
Yeah, I let these sit for a couple of weeks. We've learned our lesson. On the second archive episode I listened to, it was when I was having the head retention problems, and I was blaming my dishwasher. But I think it's just we just didn't let it sit long enough.
Yeah.
We're too anxious to taste these things. Okay, this is number two, random sample number two.
Hmm.
Oh, that's a different beer.
Very different. Softer.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like this better. I don't get that those little dank undertones.
No.
Now maybe as it warms a little bit, might change my mind. But at the moment it's very soft.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting more of like you put pear in my brain. I'm getting more of like that pear kind of thing. It's not a citrus fruit, not a tropical fruit, but yeah, like a fresh apple or maybe a pear, something like that.
Yep.
Not peach.
No, it's not peach. It's not apricot. It's definitely not citrus. It's definitely not bubblegum. It's just kind of a soft fruit flavor. And I go with pear because pears are kind of, you know, they don't have a real strong flavor ever. And this is just pear-like. Yeah.
It's got a nice level of bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the back of the sip, there's enough bitterness to make it, you know, kind of crisp. It's not flabby in the wine terminology. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it better than number one.
I do, too. Number one... It does go a little bit too dank, a little bit too on the vegetal side.
Too harsh.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I could just drink that beer.
Yeah.
You know, these beers are not made to be examples of a great recipe. They're made to illustrate a hop's characteristics.
Right.
So a lot of times the beers, you know, they're okay. We'll taste them. We're like, yeah, that's pretty good. But I wouldn't necessarily, or I wouldn't order one, or I wouldn't brew a big batch of it. But particularly number two.
Yeah, that's good.
Today, I would just drink that just as it is.
Yeah.
That's a nice little recipe.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
We're doing EKG now.
Okay.
All right. East Kent Golding.
Is that near East Clark? No. Okay.
It's on Lois Lane.
It's on Lois Lane.
At one time, I planted Golding hops here at the house, and I was calling them EKG, and you know, of course, somebody wrote in and said they're not East Kent Golding because they're not at East Kent; they're West Washington County Golding, and of course, they're right. But East Kent Golding is often thought of as the ultimate English hop, grown exclusively in Kent, England, and descended from Canterbury Whitebine.
Sounds like a pub.
Canterbury Whitebine. Sounds like a PG.
Or
PG,
a disease.
Sounds like a PG Woodhouse character.
Yeah, even better, yeah.
I was eating lunch with Canterbury Whitebine when Jeeves came in.
Oh, I say Jeeves.
I've been listening to a PG. This is an odd thing, but I've been to go to sleep at night. I listen to audiobooks on YouTube, and I've been listening to a lot of PG Woodhouse lately, you know. Jeeves.
Yeah.
And the language has changed since the 20s. They'll do things like, he'll write things like, I say, he ejaculated.
Like, not that there's anything wrong with that.
What? anyway, East Kent Golding. It's a centuries-old variety. Despite claims to the contrary, it is identical to Canterbury Golding, Ooh. The two names have been used interchangeably for some time. Canterbury is a town in East Kent, and the hop was first brought to market there in 1790. However, some charge to this day that East Kent Golding and Canterbury Golding are two distinct varieties, though there is no clear evidence to support this.
Well, Washington County Goldings is clearly a different variety.
Well, it didn't like living here in Northwest Arkansas. I think it might have put off one puny hop cone before it died. It has an amazing aroma profile with lavender, spice, honey, and notes of thyme. Flavor-wise, it is earthy and mildly bittering with a sweet, silky, honey-like character. East Kent Golding is considered to be the quintessential English hop, long held as one of the island's favorites for ales and pale ales. So, you want to know what we said?
Yeah.
Too bad. No, here. In April of 2020, now this is, I did a 10-minute hop stand with 16.5 grams of EKG because of the alpha acid we're balancing. Mm-hmm. I did a full ounce of tetanang and then 16.5 grams of EKG and then 9.5 of Hallertau Blanc. But that's, so that's what we were tasting in that show. Mm-hmm. Okay, EKG. I said it was the most bitter of the three that I mentioned. Clean bitterness, not as fruity, nice, solid, pale ale. And you said it was the strongest bitter of the three, most upright, straight-ahead flavor, not fruity or bubblegummy, traditional, most refreshing. Hmm. And that was your favorite. The EKG was your favorite of that. Mine was the Hallertau Blanc. And on the guessing, you got them all three wrong, and I got Hallertau Blanc, with Hallertau Blanc correct. So,
Okay.
Anyway, so I don't know if that influences your. Of course, we haven't tasted the third.
We've tasted number three. Okay, let's see.
Nice,
wow.
Nice Foley art there. Careful not to unveil
ahead of time. I don't know if I have a little cold or something. I don't think I do, but none of them seem to have much aroma to me today.
Mm-mm.
You agree with that, or
well, of course, my nose doesn't work as well as yours.
So. Well, but mine's so I don't know. There may be some sinus issues here today because I don't smell anything. These are all three really different.
Yeah,
this one almost goes oniony to me.
Really,
a little. I mean, it's really vegetal. Try it again.
I was going to say it's kind of the flabbiest of the three to me.
Yeah, it is. It's not as, the flavor is not as well defined as in the other two.
It's not as bright.
It's almost, well, it's not oxidized. That's not it. It's almost like this if the others reminded me of raw vegetables, just bear with me. This reminds me of cooked vegetables a little bit.
I get it. Dull.
Dull, yeah, there you go. Oh, gee, I just can't come up with those four-letter words anymore. Yeah, it's just a little duller than the other two. Now, I would say it's not terrible, but
it's the least interesting.
Definitely the least interesting.
And I don't think it's palate fatigue. I'm going to go back and taste number one again.
No, heck, neither one of us have had more than maybe 2 ounces of beer.
Oh, wow. Number one, compared to number three, is super. It's way better.
A lot more flavor
way
there.
Way better.
That's stunning how different they are.
It's almost got a, there's almost a minty characteristic coming through now on my palate. Oh, and it's a lot more fruity to me in comparison to number three.
Number three just kind of lays there.
Yeah, number two is kind of halfway between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to go back. You want to look look at your tasting notes from before?
Sure.
Here, I'll hand you you got the Fuggle one. I've got the EKG one.
Oh, a little savory herb.
I said EKG was more pronounced bitterness, fruit stripe gum, more raw hop character, more complex than number one. Fruitiness lingers.
Well, I'm going to go, yeah. Well, now I'm looking at your Fuggle and your comment. Well,
I'm sorry.
I don't want to zip up.
Oh, no, wait. I was reading Tetnang. I need a new format. Okay, I say forget what I just said. EKG is most bitter of the three, clean bitterness, not as fruity, a nice solid pale ale. And you said strongest bitter of the three, most upright, straight ahead flavor, not fruity or bubblegummy, traditional, most refreshing. So what did I say, or what did we say about Fuggle?
On Fuggle, you said fair amount of fruit, not tropical, grassy and a little onion, more fruity than a typical English ale, and pear inside question marks, or inside parentheses with a question mark. I said UK Fuggle was a little savory herb, and I described thyme, I guess. Earthy, grassy, nice, subtle flavors. So, so what we know is that one of these is EKG, one of these is Fuggle, and one of them is a blend.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to, let's see. Let me taste number three again. I have an opinion.
I do too, but nobody wants to know it.
I do not
know.
I'm going out on a limb here.
Okay.
I'm going to say number one is EKG.
Okay.
Number two is Fuggle, and number three is the blend. No, wait. Did I say that right?
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Number one, EKG. Number two, Fuggle. Number three is the blend. Because in tasting number two, it was just kind of like, eh. But number three has more sort of more of a sharpness than number two, but not as much as number one.
Okay.
What do you think?
I agree with you. However, just to be contrary, I'm going to call number one EKG.
That's
is that what you said? Did? Yeah. Oh, then number one Fuggle. I think, oh no, maybe we're the same. No, I think number two is EKG.
Okay.
Is that what you said?
No. I said number one is EKG.
Okay, then we're backwards.
Number two is Fuggle, okay. And number three is the blend. So do we agree that number three is the blend?
I agree that number three is the blend.
Okay.
It seems to be not the odd duck out, but the amalgamation of the other two.
Yeah.
I'm just going to – that's just how it strikes me.
It's got characteristics of each.
So, okay. Well, shall we find out?
Well, no. Which one do we like the best?
Personally, at the moment, I like number two the best.
Hmm.
It just has, it doesn't hit me with any kind of a undertone of kind of a danky, there's something kind of a little bit disagreeable about one and three to my palate right now. And it's that kind of vegetal quality that's underneath it. I don't think tastes very good to me today.
Hmm.
Number two doesn't have much of that, but it does have that kind of nice soft fruit. And I like that. That tastes good to me in this beer. I'm not sure that qualifies as telling you which hop is which, but number two is the one I like the best.
Okay. I think I like number one. I didn't at first, but after drinking all three, it's like number one is the one I want to come back to. Just because it's so clean and you know, the bitterness is right there to clean your palate.
Yep.
It just, I don't know. Just after tasting all three in succession, I keep coming back to number one. They're not clunkers. None of them are clunkers.
Yeah, they're all actually pretty good. But just picking apart the quality of the flavor.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So number one, you said Fuggle. I said EKG.
Show me Fuggle.
You got it right. Dang it.
Number two, show me blend.
Oh, no, I got them all wrong.
Get out.
You got one right. You got one right. I got them all wrong.
I would never have thought that number two was the blend, however, because it's the least complex. So what are they?
Just to make sure.
Tame each other?
I don't know.
Balance each other out? And that's EKG.
Wow.
Which is my least favorite.
Huh.
By quite a margin today.
So I liked Fuggle.
And I liked the blend.
I'm going to pour a little bit more of the blend, the middle one. Get a little bit of the cookie, but what the heck?
What the heck? You know, the blend works for me.
Huh. Interesting.
Very.
I still like number one, but it's Fuggle.
What's wrong with that?
It's not EKG.
Well, but you know what it does show? Because none of these are bad. None of them are clunkers.
No.
So, you could brew. I mean, clearly you can brew with one, two, or all three.
It's just interesting, you know, how our comments lined up. You know, I said Fuggle last time, fair amount of fruit, not tropical, grassy, and a little onion.
Mm-hmm.
More fruity than a typical English ale. I mean, that pretty much describes it. I should listen to myself from the past, I guess. But then it said, well, of course, this, you know, EKG is comparing against Tétnang and Hallertau Blanc.
Right.
On this one,
right.
Most bitter of the three, clean bitterness, not as fruity. Those other two, Hallertau Blanc was especially fruity. And we said Tétnang had like fruit stripe gum, you know, so compared against, you know, those others, the EKG was cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
But compared against Fuggle.
Now that the EKG, now that they're all warming, but the EKG is starting to take on a little bit of citrus notes to me, particularly lemon. Starting to pick up just a little bit of lemon from it.
I see that.
But having said that, I like that blend. That the blend works, which makes sense because Fuggle and EKG in a blended beer is that's an extremely common way to hop up an English ale.
Very nice.
Okay,
so we have a bonus beer today. I a follower of the podcast, Jason Reisinger. From Middleton, Idaho, wrote in the other day, said, I'm a fan of your Basic Brewing radio and video shows. Thank you, Jason. And really enjoy the hop sampler series that you and Steve do. I have an overabundance of experimental 158 hops that I purchased in September to do my first wet-hopped beer and wanted to know if you would like some. I live in Idaho, about 20 miles drive from Mill 95, where they process the hops in the area. Normally, the mill only distributes to breweries and larger commercial entities, but I was able to snag 10 pounds of wet, quote-unquote, pink hops. I guess that's the code name for Experimental 158. I made two wet hop beers and then, like all good homebrewers, took the screen door off the patio and laid the rest out on it with a fan blowing to dry them out. After about 12 hours, I bagged and vacuum sealed them and put them in the freezer. The variety is pretty new. They did run a small run last year and had more this season. It's more of an aroma flavor hop with big citrus and stone fruit flavors. And he sent us some. In fact, he sent 8 ounces.
Oh, my.
And individually, you know, each ounce is vacuum sealed, you know, their whole hops, which Jason dried on his screen door. But then he also sent 3 bombers of a beer that he made with this hop. Would you like to taste it?
I would be honored.
Okay, well, let me press pause and we'll be back. And we're back.
And we're back. Okay,
so we're just gonna taste this, and then you and I are gonna collaborate, and I want to do a hop sampler with, you know, some of the these pink hops from Jason. You need to be a Foley artist. But I just wanted to taste this beer to kind of introduce, you know, the concept and to share this beer with you.
So this is pink?
Pink hops from pink Idaho. Hops.
Well, let's get this party started.
Smells good.
Tastes good.
I think he described this beer.
Glad we didn't step in it.
I didn't print out the descriptor of what he... how would you describe the beer? I think he described it as a hazy beer.
It is. And is it a single hop beer? I mean, is that the only hop in here? Yeah,
it's a nice beer.
I should have printed out the the details on how he made the beer, but it's way good.
Yeah,
I think he said he dry hopped it with a bunch of hops, and since they were whole hops, they just kind of floated on the top. So he said next time he would weigh down the hop bag.
Well, it's a nice beer, so thank you for sharing with us. There's no defects in it. It's brewed clean as a whistle. The hop flavor is nice.
Compared to these, more kind of intensely hopped samples, it's softer.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Which is a nice relief from.
Yeah,
it's a nice switch over.
Yeah, that's very quaffable. It's a very quaffable beer. And great head retention. I know nobody can see it because it's audio. It's the beauty of audio.
Mm.
And I would order a pint of that.
Oh, yeah.
All day long.
I'd call that a juicy beer.
Yeah. 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 It's juicy, American tasting pale ale to me, or a light IPA or a heavy pale ale.
Yeah, it to me fits more in the category of the New England IPA because it's not like super West Coast, aggressive bitterness. But the hop character is straight up front. I don't know.
Yeah. And you know what?
I'm having palate fatigue right
now. I am too, a little bit, but what I'm really noticing is the lack of that undertone of that kind of dank, bittery,
right,
astringency almost in the back of your throat. This is very clean from that standpoint. And so you get a really nice hop charge at the front end that's not bitter. It just those are hops, and you can taste the hop. And then it kind of goes away, and I like that.
And now I do smell this beer.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Real fresh.
Nice and fruity.
Yeah. It actually kind of reminds me of just sticking your nose in when you open a bag of hops, and you stick your nose in there and smell them. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
So maybe that's the benefit of dry hopping. Maybe because I didn't dry hop these, the sample beers. And maybe that's what, those are kind of missing, or one of the things. And again, they're not supposed to be like well-rounded.
Exactly.
Show beers or something. This is really good.
Yeah, it's super good. Yeah, I wouldn't mind brewing that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing with those hops that Jason sent. It'd be interesting to see, if we can do justice with the small batch thingy. I think I've only brewed with whole hops maybe once when we got maybe the Swedish hops.
Yeah.
I think one of those was a whole hop, but all the rest of the time it's been pellets, I think.
I've only brewed with whole hops maybe twice.
Yeah.
Maybe. In my whole life, yeah.
I like to call them wort sponges.
Exactly. I like to call them long cleanups.
Yeah. I remember brewing one beer with a lot of whole hops in it, and at the end I was just like squeezing the hops, wringing out the wort.
Yeah, and that always happens like at 2 a.m. It's like, oh, I just want to be done with this.
Desperation.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And a good way to round out the hop sampler. I like the idea of using new hops that we haven't used before. I also like the idea of revisiting hops that we have used before and blending them and seeing what we think.
Yeah, me too.
These all three were different beers.
Yep.
We each had our preference on them, but it is proof that, if you do blend hops, especially even hops that are, as neighborly as these as these are, you do get different effects.
That's right.
There you go.
And we also want to be sure that, or at least I want to be sure that everyone understands that while we're describing the flavor of the hop, if you had put 1 ounce of Crystal in these beers, it would have changed our perception.
Oh, as far as the grain.
Yeah. So in other words, so if you're brewing, a traditional English beer with Pilsner malt, it's like that's one of the wonderful things about beer. You've basically got 4 ingredients and 7,000 different kinds of beer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe we do that too.
Yeah. Maybe we could, you know, to do some hop samplers with, how can I say this? So if we pick, in this case, we had English hops. So perhaps if we built a little English grain profile, of course, what does that even mean?
Yeah. But you could do that with extract beers as well.
Sure.
I mean, you could still, I could be steeping the grains as I'm, you know, as I'm bringing that up to the boil or.
But then you run into the problem of, well, now you're into recipe development in a way. So I don't know. It's kind of a fun little thought exercise, and it's good to familiarize yourself with what the hops tastes like.
And it's interesting now that we've got this database of, you know, previously sampled beers, we can go back and say, do I still feel the same, or, you know, how consistent are we?
Right.
Which is
intense. I actually felt like we were pretty consistent today. Did you? I thought we were.
Of course, you know, our descriptors are usually pretty vague that it's
that's true. It's smooth.
Like a psychic reading. You could, or a horoscope, or, you know, you could relate it to however you could read it however way you want to read it. But
yeah.
But I think you're right. All right, Steve.
All right, James.
It's been fun. Until next time.
Stay tuned.
Same bat channel.
Same bat channel.
Well, thanks again to Steve, as always, and to Jason for sending the hops and the beer. I have an idea of what to do with some of those pink hops for the next sampler, and it has to do with methods of dry hopping. It's kind of an experiment. Stay tuned and wish me luck on that. Don't forget to send in your brewing disaster stories. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, disaster stories, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Till then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.